Welcome to the first part of the Introducing F-Sharp webcast series. My name is Tomáš Petříček, I am Microsoft C-Sharp MVP, and I've been working with F-Sharp since its early versions, because F-Sharp started as a Microsoft research project, and only recently Microsoft announced that they will be turning F-Sharp into a real product, which means that F-Sharp will be available as part of the Visual Studio 2010, and together with C-Sharp and Visual Basic, it will be the third managed language available in Visual Studio. I am also working on a book about F-Sharp, which is called Real World Functional Programming, and it shows the core functional concepts using examples in F-Sharp and C-Sharp. Because, as we will see in this webcast, some of the functional ideas can be explained using C-Sharp as well. And then it shows a couple of larger applications that show some of the very interesting functional programming techniques. In this series of webcasts, we will take a look at the usual development style that you can use in F-Sharp. And we will start by experimenting with F-Sharp, and we will take a look at some of the simple concepts that are available in F-Sharp, and we will start by using the read, eval, print loop, which means that we will write some code and then try if it does what we want it, and we will interactively, in a very simple fashion, look at some of the basic F-Sharp constructs. And after that, we will look at something more interesting, and we will look how to use .NET libraries from F-Sharp, and we will implement a very simple prototype of an application that grabs some data from RSS feeds from a website, and then extracts some interesting information from the data. In this phase, we will be writing the code in a very simple way, mostly to get it working and get it to do the right thing. And then, as a next step, in the third part, we will look at how can we optimize the code and how can we make it better do what it already did. So we will look how can we get the data from the website asynchronously without blocking the thread that only waits for the data to be received from the server, and also how can we process multiple RSS feeds in parallel. Finally, in the last part, we will look how to turn these simple F-Sharp scripts into a real .NET project, and we will use some of the object-oriented features of F-Sharp to wrap the code into a standard .NET library that could be also used from C-Sharp. So let's start by looking at some of the basic functional concepts, and I will use C-Sharp to explain some of them, and later we will look how the code would actually look in F-Sharp. The interesting point here is that functional programming is a general programming paradigm that you can use in any programming language. So just like you can write object-oriented code in C, you can also use functional ideas when writing code in C-sharp or even C++. So I will use some familiar C-sharp code to explain some basic functional concepts, and then we will look how to do the same thing in F-Sharp. So I already have some code here, which is just a very simple imperative kind of program that creates a local variable that represents random number generator, and then creates a variable num, and then two times modifies the value of the variable, and then prints the result. So as you can see, if we run it, it generates two random numbers and adds them. In imperative kind of programming, we are working with some state of variables, and we are modifying the value of these variables. On the other hand, in the functional style, we are describing the program not as a sequence of statements that modify some state, but rather as an evaluation of some expression or of some mathematical function. In this sense, we don't have any variables, we don't usually modify any values. So how can we write the same thing in the functional fashion? Instead of modifying the value of a variable, we can declare a new variable to hold the new number. So I can write something like this, and I'll have to change the names of the variables to make it a legal C# code. And now, as you can see, we did a very small change, but now the code looks almost like functional code, because we are not modifying any value of a variable. We're just declaring a new variable each time we need to calculate the new value. And if I run the code, you can see that it still works and it does exactly the same thing, but the code is written slightly differently. So I'm pretty sure you can now imagine how we could transform some pretty simple imperative code into a functional version. So let's look at some more interesting examples. I have a method here, which is called sumNumbers, which takes two numbers as arguments and sums all numbers in the specified range. So let me just change the code here to call the function, and we'll add numbers from 1 to 5. And if I run the code, you can see that the result is 15. So the interesting thing about this function is that it contains a loop, and in this case it's much harder to see how we can represent the same idea without modifying any global state. So the loop currently runs, and during each iteration it increments the value of the local variable that counts the result. So in this situation, we'll have to change the code a little bit more. If we want to sum numbers in some specified range, we can also write it as take the first number and add it to the sum of numbers from the first number incremented by 1 to the last number of the range. We will also need to write a condition here, because when the first number of the range is more than the last number, then we'll have to return 0, that's an empty range. But otherwise we can use a recursion here to sum numbers from some smaller range and add it to the first number. So if we run the code now, you can see it returns exactly the same result, but it's now written in a different style, and as you can see, we are not modifying any variables here, and the code is also written in a more declarative fashion, because we are much closer to the mathematical description of what does it mean to sum numbers in some range, and we are not describing how to get the result step by step. So let's imagine that we would want to multiply all the numbers in the specified range as well. I'll start by copying the function and making some changes there, and then we will look at a better way of doing the same thing. So I'll also change the call here so that we call the mulNumbers function. And we'll also need to do a couple of changes in the function itself. We'll start by changing the initial value to 1, because otherwise we would multiply any number by 0, and we will use multiplication instead of addition. So now if we run the code, we can see that it printed sum of all the numbers in that range and also the multiple of all the numbers. Now the interesting thing is that the structure of these two functions is very similar, and if we have two methods with the same structure, then it seems like a very good idea to turn them only into one method that would take the necessary differences between the behavior as an argument. So we'll write a more generally useful function called aggregate numbers, and we'll change the calls here and also the recursive call. Now we'll need to give it a couple of additional parameters, and the first parameter will be obviously the initial value, which we will use here instead of 0 or 1. And in the first case, where we want to sum the numbers, we will use 0 as the initial value, and in the second case we will use 1. And we'll also have to propagate the argument in the recursive call. So let me just fix the typo here. And the second parameter that we will give to the function, that will have to specify whether we want to use plus or multiply here. Or in general, we will have to provide some function or some delegate that can be used as a operation that we do during the aggregation. And in .NET 3.5, we have this func delegate that we can use, and that's largely motivated by functional programming, as we will see shortly. So first of all, we will use the op operation instead of the plus operator here. So we will call op with the first number as the first argument and the aggregation of all the remaining numbers as the second argument. And we will also give the delegate as an argument to the recursive call. And now we can use C-sharp lambda expressions, which is another idea that comes from functional programming, to specify what kind of operation do we want to apply here. For the first call, I'll give it a lambda expression that simply adds two numbers. And for the second call, we'll use a lambda expression that multiplies two numbers. And if we run the code again, you can see that we still get the same results, but now we have a more generally useful function that's parameterized by taking a delegate, or in the functional terms, taking a function as an argument. So in this simple C-sharp example, we've demonstrated a couple of essential functional concepts. We started by using immutable values instead of variables, because we never change a value of a variable in this whole code. Secondly, we take a look at recursion, because recursion is the functional way of expressing more complicated control structures. And as a last thing, we've looked at using functions as the argument, which is very useful because it lets us write functions that hide the difficult recursive part, and we can parameterize them just by specifying some part of their behavior. So now that we've learned a little bit about functional programming in general, let's look how the code would actually look in the F-sharp language. If you want to start with F-sharp, the best way is to create an F-sharp script file, because to start with using F-sharp, you don't even need to create a project. And we will start by declaring a couple of values. So we can declare a value num and assign it some numeric constant. And we can create one value to represent some string. In F-sharp, you can select any code, and if you hit Alt-Enter, it will be executed immediately in the F-sharp interactive window, which you can see down here. And we can, for example, read the value of the num symbol, or we can write some simple expressions here, and so on. One interesting thing about value bindings in F-sharp is that you don't have to write the type, but the type is still there because F-sharp uses type inference to deduce what the type of a value is. So in this case we use integer constant or a string constant. So F-sharp automatically infers that the type of this value is integer and that the type of this value is string. Let is a very important keyword in F-sharp because you can use it to declare values but also to declare a function. So if we want to declare a function, we'll write a simple function called toTimes. We just use the let keyword again, but we also specify some arguments after the name of the symbol. And in the body of the toTimes function, we'll just multiply n by 2. And we can again select the function, hit Alt-Enter to compile it in the F-sharp interactive. And then we can use it to multiply 42 by 2. And we can also use the symbol that we declared earlier, and so on. So if we wanted to write the sumNumbers function, we would use a let keyword again. This function will take two arguments. It will take the initial number of the range and the last number of the range. And as we've seen in C#, we will first write some condition to check if the first number of the range is more than the last one. In that case, we will simply return 0. And otherwise, we will add the first number of the range to the sum of all the numbers from the initial number incremented by 1 to the last number. And there's one more minor point. When you're writing a function that's recursive in F#, you have to use the rec modifier. So now the code should work, and let's try it using the F# interactive window. So let's try summing numbers from 1 to 5, and as you can see, the result is again familiar 15. So let's now improve the function and let's turn it into the more general aggregate numbers function. So I'll change the name, and we'll again add two arguments. One to represent the initial value that we will use here instead of the hard-coded 0. And the second argument will be the function, the operation that should be used to aggregate the numbers. So we'll use the operation here instead of calling a plus operator, and I'll also propagate the arguments in the recursive call. Now, as you can see, if we write a function call, we simply write the name of the function or the symbol that represents the function, and then all the arguments to the functions separated by spaces. So if we compile this aggregate numbers function, we can now use it by calling it and giving it some initial value and a lambda function. So the lambda function syntax in F# uses the fun keyword, but otherwise it's more or less the same. And let's again add numbers from 1 to 5. So I can select the code and evaluate it, and as you can see, the result is again 15. And if we wanted to multiply all the numbers, we would simply just change the initial value and the operator inside the lambda function, and the result would be 120. One minor note is that in F# you can use just the symbol of the operator. So we don't really have to write the lambda function here, and the results will be again exactly the same. So we wrote this function just to demonstrate some of the basic functional concepts, But let's now look at something more interesting. I'll declare a list value and I'll assign it to this construct, which is the F# syntax for initializing a list. So as you can see, we've created a list of numbers from 1 to 10. And if we want to work with lists, we can either do it directly by iterating over the list elements and process the list using recursion. But we will not look into that in this webcast. You can find more information in my book about F#. And we will instead use some of the existing functions that are already available in the F# library. So we will use the list filter function, which is a function that takes a list as the second argument and returns a list that's filtered that contains only some of the elements from the first list. And the way to determine which elements should be included is specified by a function, by a lambda function that we will give it as an argument. And the lambda function will return Boolean value for each of the elements. So if you're familiar with link, this is very similar to the where operator. And we'll write a lambda function that returns true only if the number is even. So if we run this bit of code, we will get only those numbers from the input lists that are even numbers. So this kind of working with data that inspired link, that's very much based on the functional programming concepts. So let's store the result into a list1 value, and let's use some other function to do some more processing. And this time we will use list.map, which is just like select in C#, and it takes a list of some values, this apostrophe T, that means that the function is generic, and in this case it takes a list of T's and a function that knows how to turn a value of T into a value of U, and the function returns as the overall result a list of U's. So we can, for example, return the square of the number, and we can use a list1 as the input list. So as you can see, now we've got a list which contains squares of even values from the original list that we've created. One thing that's very interesting about functional programming is that whenever you use let binding, it actually means the same thing as if you simply took the initial value and replaced all the occurrences of the symbol, in this case list, with the actual value. Which means that the whole program can be actually interpreted as just a single expression. So we can write the code like this and it will mean exactly the same thing. This, of course, doesn't make the code particularly readable, but we can make it better by using another interesting F# feature, which is called pipelining operator. And the pipelining operator lets us write the code in a more natural fashion as a sequence of some operations that process the input data. So now I've changed the code to use the pipelining operator, which you can see here. And probably even without knowing anything about the operator, you can understand what the code does. It simply takes some input data and then sends this input to the first processing function, which performs some filtering, and then sends this filtered list into the next operation in the pipeline, which is list.map, and which performs some projection of the data. So if I select the code and execute it, it will again give us exactly the same result. And we can of course add some other processing functions to the pipeline, to the sequence of operations. We could, for example, use list.length to count the number of the list elements. So in that case, the result will be 5. So this way of working with data, that's actually very similar to what you already know if you're using link in C#, because link is heavily influenced by functional programming. And we will use some of the functions that we've seen in this webcast in the next parts, where we will look at working with some actual more interesting data that will come from the RSS feed. So that's pretty much everything I wanted to demonstrate in this part. We've seen some of the basic functional constructs, such as recursion and using function as an argument, and we've also looked at the functional way of working with data, and in particular at using the pipelining operator in F#. In the next part, we will look at more interesting example, because we'll start using some of the .NET libraries to get some more interesting data from the web and then process the and then we will look how we can extract some interesting information from the data. In the next part of the webcast, we will look at more interesting problem, and we will move to the prototyping phase, where we will actually start implementing our application for processing RSS feeds.